couple of decades ago, a noted European public intellectual said the following, quote, "It is obligatory to compare today's situation with the decline of the Roman Empire." The Roman Empire. In its final days, Rome still functioned with a great historical framework. But in practice, its vital energy had been depleted. This intellectual went on to say that there is a collapse in the West, particularly in Europe, but it's also finding its influence here in North America. There is a collapse of the spiritual forces that sustain us. And now in the West, we live as if God no longer matters. This public intellectual was and is Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI. I think, in part, Cardinal Ratzinger chose the name Benedict because he understood how, in the 21st century, we need Saint Benedict to inspire us. So what was it about Benedict, whose feast day we celebrate today, that so inspired this brilliant pope to take this name and to call us to reflect on this man who lived so many centuries ago? Benedict of Nursia is known as the founder of Western monasticism. He was born around the year 480, and let me just set this in context. St. Augustine died in the year 430. So Benedict is born 50 years later, but at Augustine's death in 430 in northern Africa, the Vandals, from where we get the word vandalism, were wreaking havoc in North Africa. And it's only by the grace of God that they did not find Augustine's library. Otherwise, all of Augustine's writings would have been destroyed. But they haven't been. So you need to appreciate that what was happening in Europe didn't happen overnight. What was happening in the Roman Empire didn't happen in two decades. It happened over the period of two, three, four generations. So Augustine dies in 430. Benedict is born in 480. He came from a wealthy family, and he was to go to Rome to finish his education. When he got to Rome, what he saw there disgusted him. There was an attitude in the Rome of the turn of the 6th century that I think in some ways is paralleled in the attitude of the people of whom we read in our passage from Hosea. "For now they will say, 'We have no king, for we do not fear the Lord.'" Remember, I said that Benedict was born 4 years after the last Roman emperor abdicated. We have no king. We do not fear the Lord. And a king, what could he do for us? So as Benedict saw what was happening in Rome, he had to respond to the moral and spiritual degradation in such a way that his soul heard the Holy Spirit speak. And I would think that the last verse from our reading from Hosea captured something of what Benedict must have heard. For in that verse, the Lord said, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." Benedict understood that it was time to seek the Lord. And so he got out of Rome as quickly as he could. Not because he was fleeing the world in a negative sense to sort of say, "I'm going to close my eyes, I don't want to see what is happening." Rather, it was to seek God so that he could know how to respond to the collapse of the society in which he lived. So he went to the mountains. He went and he prayed, he fasted, and he wrote what is called the Rule of Saint Benedict. During his lifetime, he founded 12 monasteries, If you've ever seen the rule, it's very thin. But the remarkable thing is that this rule helped to save the West from utter chaos and darkness. The thing about this book is that Saint Benedict called it a school for the Lord's service. A school for the Lord's service. So how can we live in a society that is collapsing and be able to serve the Lord? In the prologue of the rule, he writes the following: I hope that there is nothing here that is harsh or burdensome, but that my rule is only strict enough to strengthen your hearts. And then he has this beautiful line: to run the way of God's commandments with unspeakable love. I want to learn to live that way. To run the way of God's commandments with unspeakable love. After Benedict died, monasticism exploded. Monks moved all over barbarian-ruled Europe. They brought the faith to unchurched people. They taught people how to pray, but they also taught people the basic skills of life. How to grow things. How to be able to live in the midst of Rome's collapse. The monks kept alive the cultural memory of Christian Rome. And here's another thing about Benedict's monks. They had to take a vow of stability. They wouldn't move around. They wouldn't sort of say, okay, this community, it's too difficult to live with this abbot, it's too difficult to live with these brothers, I'm going somewhere else. No, they were vowed to live in that house until their death. And one of the things that provided was stability in an ever-changing world. And so these monastic communities became citadels of light in a very dark and chaotic time. What were these monasteries like? They were like arks, carrying the faith across the stormy waters that obliterated Roman civilization. It all happened because Saint Benedict was able to see clearly what was happening in his day, and rather than panicking and throwing up his hands and saying, it's helpless, he said, with the help of God, I can make a difference. So let me now move to our own day. In 1981, the American philosopher Alistair MacIntyre published a book entitled After Virtue. In it, he explained how Enlightenment modernity, and the Enlightenment dates back to the French Revolution, so it's hundreds of years old, but he said how the influence that goes all the way back to 1789 and following overthrew the old source of moral order, one that was rooted in Christianity and classical philosophy. But the problem is, there was nothing with any authority to replace it. There is a sociologist by the name of Dr. Bauman, who in reflecting on the effects of the Enlightenment, has coined a phrase that he says describes today, and he calls it liquid modernity. Liquid modernity. Now he said, before liquid modernity, Dr. Bauman said, we had solid modernity, in which the pace of change had quickened, but it was slow enough that people could adjust so that our structures, our institutions, marriage, the church, those things that help to give a sense of purpose to our lives were still in place. But he says things have now gotten to the point where liquid modernity has taken over. That the pace of change is so rapid that nothing, no new institutions, no new habits have time to solidify. And this is the conclusion that Dr. Bauman makes. In liquid modernity, the most successful person is the one who has no allegiances beyond him or herself. And what matters most is my self-interest. Does that sound like the day in which we are living? I think it does. The person who lives in liquid modernity can change loyalties, beliefs, lifestyles to suit his or her own preferences. There is no solid ground anymore. This is the time in which we're living. And a number of decades ago, Pope Benedict anticipated this. So may we be inspired in such a day to hear Hosea's word, to hear Benedict's word, to be a people who can respond with the courage of Saint Benedict so that we can hear the Lord's call to wholehearted discipleship, so that we can reach out to the lost sheep of liquid modernity and return some of them to the fold of Christ's church. This is exciting. This is challenging. This is what we are called to in the 21st century. Pope Benedict, Saint Benedict, all of the blessed, pray for us.